This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. Woo-hoo! Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, speaking of things that people might be sick and tired of talking about, Shador Sanders.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Mel Kiper is furious he's because not the next pope.
Who will be the first member of our media world saying that he doesn't get it because he's wearing his dollar sign gear into the facility?
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Rams linebacker Jared Verse, comedian David Spade, and now... it's Rich Eisen.
Well, that's right. And I can confirm it by being here. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live on the Roku Sports Channel, live on this terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us on the Infinity Sports Network. We're live on Sirius XM Channel 375. It is great to be hanging out on Odyssey, if that's how you're streaming us today as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got some great guests. Ike Barinholtz, who is spectacular in the new Apple TV show, The Studio. New episode is streaming today. It's available on Roku. He's outstanding. I know him personally, and he's a diehard Chicago sports fan. His daughter and Taylor play on the same youth basketball league and have played on the same team before. So Ike can also talk about girls youth basketball coach Susie Schuster. It's going to be a fun conversation when I comes in here. Let me just tell you all of that good stuff. He also is the one of the writers of Running Point. It's going to be great. And he's joining us first up on this program.
Let's go.
And hour number three of this show, Tom Pelissero, on the latest going on in the National Football League. And then in hour two, somebody's going to help us unpack what we're about to start the show with in the reinstatement of Pete Rose, posthumously, as well as Shoeless Joe Jackson. Don Van Natta of ESPN, who broke the story yesterday, he's going to join us in a matter of moments. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Rich, what's up, man? I'm great.
Jay Felly is going to be joining us later for another Family Feud conversation. Mike Del Tufo will do the first 2 hours and three quarters of this program from his position. Good to see you over there, DJ Mikey.
Morning,
D's
Rich.
And D's Nuts. Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, how are you doing, sir? Is the candle lit? Is the candle lit?
I mean, yeah, it just went out. I need a new candle, but I'm good.
Okay.
How you guys doing?
Are you all right over there? You seem to be a little off. You good? You're good?
I'm good? Fully focused. Again, I'm telling you, man. Okay. I watched an hour and a half of Family Feud highlights while I was in Benny Blade's chair last night.
Okay, so you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. Prepping.
Very good. The Pacers eliminated the Cavs. The Nuggets looked like they had Game 5 right there in Oklahoma City until the Thunder took over in the final few minutes of that game. They are on the verge of closing out the Nuggets the next time they play. The Knicks can close out the Celtics tonight. The Timberwolves can close out the Warriors as well. That's what's going on right now in the world of the NBA playoffs. We'll hit that later on. Listen, ever since I can remember, we've been talking about Pete Rose and his career turn from shoo-in in the Baseball Hall of Fame as the greatest hitter of all time and manager of the Cincinnati Reds to outcast, to a man that will never get into the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum because he was busted betting on the sport, and he was busted for wagering on 52 Cincinnati Reds games and hundreds of other baseball games in 1987 when he served as Cincinnati's manager. And then on August 23rd, 1989,
He and Bart Giamatti signed the same document that banned Pete Rose permanently from baseball for life, which is the sign on the wall. Anybody who's ever been in a Major League Baseball stadium or in a Major League Baseball dugout, as a matter of fact, I think you can see it in this photograph on the wall of number 14 on the phone, potentially to the bullpen, as what looks like player manager of the Reds right there, right?
Bullpen.
Okay.
In quotes. Okay.
Okay. Is that what he's on the phone? Is that on the wall, the sign from the baseball commissioner? You can't bet on the sport.
It's in the clubhouses.
It's in the clubhouses. Sure. It's everywhere. It's 100% explicit. Can't do it. Doesn't matter if you bet on your team to win. Doesn't matter on your bet on a team to lose. And as a matter of fact, you bet on your team to win, you're still making moves potentially that you wouldn't ordinarily make if you don't have your own money on the game. Bringing in relievers that you shouldn't be bringing in. Bringing in players that you know need the day off. I mean, these are facts of the matter. Shoeless Joe Jackson, one of many players permanently banned for life as well from the 1919 Black Sox team, as it's known, because he was, along with seven other White Sox, banned by the first commissioner of baseball, Kenesaw Mountain Landis. Kenesaw Mountain Landis in 1921 sent eight Chicago White Sox to the permanent baseball hoosegow, fixing the 1919 World Series. Anybody who's seen the film, the brilliant John Sayles film in 1988, Eight Men Out, also the books about it, knows the story there. Well, yesterday, our friend Don Van Natta of ESPN, who's going to be joining this program in just 2 hours, about an hour and a half from now, he got the leak that Major League Baseball's current commissioner, Rob Manfred, was going to reinstate everybody on the banned list who's passed away, that the ban from baseball is not eternal. It's just a lifetime ban. As the commissioner of Major League Baseball said, obviously a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game. Moreover, it is hard to conceive of a penalty that has more deterrent effect than one that lasts a lifetime with no reprieve. Therefore, I have concluded that permanent ineligibility ends upon the passing of the disciplined individual, and Mr. Rose will be removed from the permanently ineligible list. Pete Rose passed away last September at the age of 83. So he's eligible to go into the Hall of Fame, and the Hall of Fame should put him in immediately. They will not. There is a process, as is everything. There is, based on the newish rules of enshrinement for the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in beautiful Cooperstown, New York, a historical overview committee that develops the ballot of eight names for the Classic Baseball Era Committee to vote on when it next meets in December of 2027. Rose and Jackson and everybody else who's just been reinstalled would need 12 of 16 votes to win induction. And they should get the 16, all of them. We all know Pete's accomplishments. Let me just give it just in case for kids out there who may not know. Lifetime batting average of .303, Major League Baseball's current career leader in hits, games played, at bats, singles, and outs. Three-time World Series champion, twice with the Reds, once with the Phillies. Rose said, and I guess you can't, stats experts have not really figured this out, he won 1,972 regular season games.
Yeah, played the most winning games ever.
That's the most ever.
Yep.
Three batting titles, two Gold Glove awards, a Most Valuable Player award. He was Rookie of the Year as well. And you want to talk about Shoeless Joe Jackson, he should get in right away as well. He had a career batting average of .356, fourth highest in Major League Baseball history. And he took $5,000 in gambler's cash to throw the 1919 World Series. He should get in the Hall of Fame just because he's the worst tanker in history. He's fixing the World Series. He batted .375 in the World Series.
He crushed in those games.
Didn't make an error and hit the World Series only home run. Yeah. Only home run was hit by Shoeless Joe Jackson. That's him tanking.
Yep.
All right?
Imagine had he tried.
So the question isn't, should Manfred have done it? I guess the only person who might put, anybody here disagree that he shouldn't have done this? Anybody?
This should have been done a long time
ago. Okay. I disagree with that, but we'll get to that in a second. Who's it hurting? I guess the only person who might push back on this is the guy who investigated Pete Rose, John Dowd, the investigator, former Justice Department attorney who investigated Rose for Major League Baseball. He told ESPN in 2020 that he believes Jackson should be in the Hall, but not Rose. Quote, "There's no difference with him being dead. It's about behavior, conduct, and reputation."
That's a quote from yesterday?
That is a quote from 2020, John
from 2020.
Dowd. So that's a five-year-old belief. I can't imagine anything's happened in the last 5 years.
No,
anything that we've learned in the last 5 years wouldn't help Rose.
Right.
Other off-the-field news regarding him.
I just didn't know if he said that after Rose passed in the fall.
No, you said that in 2020, and I don't know why it would matter for John Dowd to change his opinion. He's the one that knows where all the receipts came from, and he's the one who collected them. And not all of them, I imagine, in his mind. Listen, I have said over and over and over again that if you think Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, you do, right?
Everybody does.
That the only way I would have him in the Hall of Fame while he was still alive is if you put on his plaque what happened. Because it's a museum.
Exactly.
It's also part of his story.
And they have a plaque, okay? When you go in, you get a plaque, and on it is text. In the Pro Football Hall of Fame, all you do is you get a bust, and it's on a plexiglass shelf, and the only information that's there is your name and the teams that you played in the years that you played for those teams. That's it. And baseball is a story. The story should include what Rose did and that he was banned for the rest of his days after being investigated and found guilty of gambling in 1989.
That seems fair.
And now it's time to put him in, and we should have baseball just say, listen, we're going to make an exception for the all-time hits king. And you could even throw Shoeless Joe Jackson in there as well. And the rest of the Black Sox that just got reinstated, you know, some of the names are familiar. If you remember Eight Men Out, Buck Weaver, right? And Eddie Seacott, the pitcher. I don't know. But certainly for Rose, you want to throw Shoeless Joe Jackson in there as well? Let's just get him in. Let's just expedite for the all-time hits leader. And that would be maybe a gift to all the Rose fans who thought Pete's been wronged. I didn't think Pete was wronged. As a matter of fact, all he had to do was just admit what he did. And I think baseball was ready to just throw him in the Hall of Fame, man. He never did it. I said it all the time. I'll repeat one more time here what I've said over and over again, just in case this is your first time hearing it. When Mickey Mantle died, before he passed away, he was talking about his battle of alcoholism and how it ruined his family relations and many of his relationships in life. And he went on a tour to basically say, don't be like me. If Pete Rose did that about gambling, I thought he would have been in the Hall of Fame. If he even did that for his book that came out in 2015, just admit it. This is what you did. This is what I did. Gambling ruins families. Instead, he's like, I still gamble on sports. I live in Las Vegas. I will not stop doing it. And baseball at the time with Bud Selig was like, okay, then there's nothing to talk about here then. So I don't think Pete Rose being banned for life was wrong. Certainly the way in which he was completely stubborn about admitting what he had done, what he signed a document saying that he had done. And now it's time to put him in the hall. And Manfred has opened the door, and the hall is basically saying, yeah, we're going to meet in 2.5 years. All right.
Sheila Show died in 1951.
Come on. Like, can we expedite and just say we're going to make a one-time exception, that the only time we're going to make this exception is when the commissioner of baseball removes 9 names from the list, including the all-time hits king, at the same time. If that ever happens again, we'll do this again. Unless it doesn't happen, we're not expediting for anybody. You make the rules. I mean, that's, again, Manfred is saying what Bart Giamatti said before his passing. It's up to the hall. It's their rules. You know, it's their rules. So you make it up. Make these up. Make it up. Put them in. Do it this summer. Put on the plaque what he did. You want to come up with the number of words that you can put on the plaque? 2 sentences about it? 1 sentence about it? Put on a plaque. It's part of what happens. It's part of why he didn't get in.
You can't tell the story of baseball without
you can't.
That.
Hey, Mom and Dad, if Pete Rose did all this, why did it take?
Well, look at the asterisk.
You know, 30-something years for him to get in the hall. Well, read the plaque. End of story. Why the commissioner did this now, and well, the backstory, Don Van Natt has got that. We'll talk about the Cavs, 68 wins the Oklahoma City Thunder had. They're on the verge, 64 wins for the Cavs. They're out. We'll talk about the Cavs being eliminated. We'll talk about what's going on in the NBA, the NFL with Tom Pelissero. But this is going to be so much fun. Ike Barinholtz from the studio.
Sal Saperstein
is here next on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. The biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge of your seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference, because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can use your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Well, this is exciting. I'm thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show a friend as well as a partner on Running Point.
Yes.
And one of the stars of the studio. New episode available today on Apple TV. The season finale is Wednesday next week. Season 2's already been picked up. Ladies and gentlemen, Ike Barinholtz.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. This was a loud clap. Sometimes some of the guests don't get the loud clap.
No.
Thank you, guys.
No. That was the appropriate decibel level. Just showed a clip of the studio available again today on Apple TV. You could see it right here on Roku. It's already been picked up for season 2. What an incredible cast. Ike Barinholtz is here, and we'll give him another round of applause. Seriously, man.
Thank you.
You are so very good in this show, dude.
Oh, my friend.
You chew the scenery. You are having, and the one thing that we get here that I like to hear is it looks like we're having fun here.
Yes, yes.
And every single minute I'm watching the show, I can only imagine how much fun you're having shooting this program.
It's always that balance of like, how much fun did you have and how good it is, right? Because I remember when I saw like the Ocean's 12, they were like, we had the best time. And I was like, you should have worked harder in the movie. But this was one that, like, this show where it's like, it's fun. People, the vibes are good. And I think the quality's good too.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the shooting, did you know when you first got, you know, a call, a script, or the gig, that this is going to be tons of one long takes, you know, sort of score? And it's interesting that Scorsese was in the first episode.
Yeah.
It's kind of an homage to a lot of the way these films are shot.
Well, I said to Marty, I go, how do you like this? You know, he goes, it's great. One camera, you know, it's very French New Wave. That's how they did it. And they had one camera. And I was like, what's your favorite French New Wave movie? Is The 400 Blows? He goes, no. It's Jewels at Gym. I remember seeing it in the theaters. And I thought, if I could make a whole movie that was just the first 20 minutes of that. And that's how I came up with Goodfellas. And I was just like, cartoon. My tongue hit the ground. I was like, oh. But I had no idea this is how they were going to shoot it at first. When Seth first told me, he didn't mention this. And I think they first started they wrote that episode that was, I think the second episode is all about them interrupting a one-er.
Yes.
So they're like, we'll shoot the whole episode as a one-er. And then they were like, let's just make the whole show, every scene is a one-er. So it sounded very ambitious and cool. I didn't think it was going to work just because I thought they would bail and just kind of shoot it like the league, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Conventionally. Mm-hmm. No, they really made a commitment to it. And their cinematographer, Adam Newport Barrow, is incredible. And he figured out a way to make it work. And it really looks different. It doesn't look like a lot of other comedies out there. And it's nice to have different, you know, looks for stuff.
But the way I'm looking at it, I'm like, you're in the middle of a scene with you're with Catherine O'Hara, Catherine Hahn. I mean, two brilliantly funny women. Seth Rogen, we all know about. Just to name three, right?
Catherine O'Hara is incredible, man. I remember like one day we were talking about Canada and I was like, I asked her a question about it. She goes, oh, I'm actually not sure. And I'm like, aren't you on the money there? And she goes, no, I am on a stamp.
Like, wow. That sounds just like her, right? That sounds just like straight out of Waiting for Guffman,
right out of Schitt's Creek.
I know, exactly right. And so, but you're minutes on end into a scene.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yes.
And Cranston's in it too. Oh my God. But all of these moments, you're minutes into a scene. I can only imagine that the pressure's on to stick the landing once you're just so deep into a scene because everybody has nailed everything. All the shots have been nailed. And
there were a couple times where I was the guy that screwed it up.
Uh-oh.
And that's a bummer. When, like, you just fluff your line and all of a sudden, the very strong camera operator kind of just quietly lowers his camera and Seth kind of just chuckles and is like, let's try it again. And you're like, I'm really bummed right now. But everyone had their opportunity to screw up a take or two. I think I was on the lower end of that spectrum.
Well, that's good.
Hopefully, yeah.
But it's awesome. Congratulations on it, dude.
It's fun, and I'm so excited we get to come back and tell more stories and dig deeper into season two and see who we can get.
In all seriousness, though, I know you were telling a story about Scorsese, and that had to be wild. For you to be in scenes with Martin Scorsese, on a set with Martin Scorsese.
It's the equivalent of you know, playing a pickup game with Michael Jordan. It's like he's the GOAT, and I was very nervous, but he's such a sweet, old, lovely man that it was just absolutely a dream to be there with him.
So did you just talk about French films with him, or did you
fanboy him? I wanted to be respectful. I didn't want to, like, overdo it. So I would ask just a question. And at one point I did screw up because Buscemi's in that scene too, Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
And I was like, I was so dumb. I was like, have you worked with Steve before? He's like, of course. I directed and produced Boardwalk Empire. And I was like, damn it. Sorry, Marty. I'm going to take a lap. But yeah, he's wonderful. And just he started following me on Instagram.
Oh.
Which was very nerve-wracking because I was like, I really hope he likes pictures of chicken cutlets because that's mostly what my content is. So I haven't gotten any likes from him. So Marty, if you're watching this, hit that like button.
Yeah, man. I mean, let's get Martin Scorsese liking on Instagram words I've never said before into a microphone, let alone without a hint of irony. Like, you really want to like from Scorsese on Instagram.
His social media presence, though, is actually incredibly blessed.
His daughter, Francesca,
who's so cool and funny and smart, and she kind of just does stuff with him, and it is like the perfect fusion of old and new media. It's pretty wonderful.
Well, Susie, who you know very well, wife, right? She was there in London when we were out to dinner at the Chiltern Firehouse with dear friends.
Yep.
And the table next to us was just this massive 10, 12 person table. It was empty and they just started filling up. And it was clear that this was the post premiere party in London for The Irishman.
Ooh.
As name them. They all showed up. They were all there. Scorsese, De Niro.
When De Niro,
everybody but Pesci showed up at that table.
When De Niro showed up, was he? Did they de-age him like they did in the film?
They did not. He was showing up as Robert De Niro, and then Springsteen sat down.
Oh my God!
It was stupid. And the reason why I bring it up is we talked about it on this show as well. That if you could only take a shot at talking to one of them, you can't go up to all of them, right? Who would you pick? And I chose Scorsese.
I would pick Scorsese. It's either Scorsese or Bruce. Because De Niro, I love him, but he's an actor. He's not going to want to talk to you. Scorsese, I think, is probably the best conversationalist out of all of them. He's very excited. I could see Bruce being like, great to meet you. I'm going to order my calamari now. Whereas Marty will, like, I think, talk to you and engage. And if you just talk to him about movies, that's what he wants
to
talk about.
Well, but he was at dinner. And so I had a plan.
Okay.
Where I went up. Ike, come on now. I had a plan.
Right, you're not gonna let this pass.
Yeah, hell no.
No.
So I had a plan. So I went to the men's room.
Yeah.
Past their table.
Okay.
I mean, I could have chosen a different route, I chose this route. Went up to Scorsese. Just talk to him and just say I'm from Staten Island. I gave that sort of thing
because
I think the Goodfellas scene where Joe Pesci got spoiler alert shot in Staten Island. I led with that.
Very good.
Then told him that he's transformed the way that I watch movies.
Yes.
He basically said thank you very much.
Yes.
At which point I then went to go pee. So then when he got up later on after the dinner, I figured this is my shot. Pushed my chair out, stopped him from leaving.
Okay.
At which point, several, I imagine, personally hired as well as Chiltern Firehouse hired members of the security staff swooped in to stop me from engaging.
At which
point, because maybe I'm from Staten Island or I was an engaging young man myself, he goes, it's okay. And we took this selfie. We took a selfie. There it
look
is.
Look at this. Come on.
There it is.
Come on.
He was not happy, I don't think.
He looks thrilled. What are you talking about? I've never seen someone look more happy to not go home.
There's all of that. That's my Scorsese story.
That's pretty good.
Yours was making small talk about Buscemi in Jewel's at like, Gym. French movies. And I blocked him from going to his courtesy car for a selfie. This all happened.
Yeah, we're all friends now, so that's all that matters.
There you go. And it's a brave new world we're living in. Ike Barinholtz here on the Rich Eisen Show, because the Pope is a Chicago White Sox fan.
Hey, guys.
Right? And you're a Chicago guy. Is it true your wife is a White Sox fan?
My wife is a White Sox fan. I lean more Cubs, although I have love for the Sox, but I grew up really close to Wrigley Field.
Yes.
Last week when it got announced, I was in the writer's room with my partner, Dave Stassen, big Chicago guy.
Now, is this for season two of Running
Point?
This is
for season two of Running Point starring Rich Eisen.
Yes, that's where it stars. Thank you for that.
We found out, and it was, I'm Jewish. I don't know from Popes.
Is that a spoiler alert?
Yeah, spoiler alert, everyone.
Ike Barinholtz, ladies
Ike
and gentlemen.
Ike Barinholtz, Jew, was shocked and excited that the Pope now is a Chicago boy. This is insane. The fact that for 2,000 years, we've had popes that are like, oh, someone that pops around the scene that we're going to bless you. And now we have a pope who's like, well, my Italian beef's preference, I like it mildly dipped, not too wet. The fact that we have a pope who knows about Italian beef, the fact that we know he's a Bulls fan. The pope could tell you like, well, I think Will Perdue did a great job for the Bulls. I think Wennington kind of took supplanted it. Like, it's incredible,
Judd
guys.
Judd Bushler talk from Vatican City.
To have the Pope turn to a cardinal and be like, you know, without Judd Bushler, they're not going to beat Utah. It's too much to take, guys. It's too much.
I was gonna go. He is the first Pope who could talk about Maglio Ordonez. You know what I mean? with and Paul Konerko, right? And the video of him in the crowd of the World Series that Fox found and the White Sox
found. That was my first date with my now wife.
What?
We watched that game at the Hard Rock Casino in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And we're watching this, and now I'm like, oh my God, what? The Pope was at that game. It's insane. We have a Pope now who, he has a take on Ozzie Guillen. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, yeah, no, he was funny, but it was too much with his son in the end, so they had to let him go. That's the Pope saying it. Oh my God!
So, what's more surprising? I'm going to ask the group here. Okay, this is a group question, Ike, for the group. What is more surprising, that the Pope is a White Sox fan, or somebody had a first date watching a World Series game at the Hard Rock Casino in Las Vegas?
Yes, yes.
And then wound up getting married,
having three beautiful children.
Yes. A lovely wives together that I personally witnessed. I can attest. You love your wife. She loves you. And you got a beautiful family.
Beautiful family.
What's more surprising? I asked the group. What's more surprising?
Watching the game.
Really? Okay.
The watching the game.
All right.
Oh, the Pope.
The Pope.
What are we doing?
It's been thousands of years of old Italian men. Now we got a guy, Chicago guy.
No.
He likes tavern style pizza more than deep dish. Come on. Huge.
He's the first Pope to ever talk back at Ed DeBevics. Don't get away with it. The Wiener Circle. I don't know if he's ever been there, but
he might have been at the Wiener Circle.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, I think they had a sign up already that's like, the Pope's been here. Their sign work is strong.
Oh my gosh.
Incredible.
I thought the first sign that the Pope would be able to affect the Chicago sports scene is that the Bulls would win Cooper Flagg's lottery.
If it had been us instead of Dallas, I'm converting to Catholicism the next day. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, which is very interesting that Dallas got that pick. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. The Bulls will figure it out. Maybe get Giannis? Maybe.
I don't know.
What do we think about that?
I don't know about... That's a big mystery, right?
Can I make an appeal to Mr. Otsutemko?
Yes, you may.
We have in Chicago, my friend, a Greek town that will rival anywhere in Greece. All right? Santorini, Greek islands. There's all these other amazing restaurants. I can name other ones, but please come to the Bulls and you could have spanakopita, termosalata any night you want, as good as anywhere in Greece, my friend.
Keep an eye on social media to see if he has now declared he wants out of Milwaukee because he saw Ike Barinholtz talk about Chicago and Santorini.
Giannis, our Greek town is par none.
Do they dye the water in Santorini green every March? Do they do that?
It's a sister city to Chicago, so yeah, they dye it green. They dye the Mediterranean green.
All right. Now he's like, huh, wherever he is right now.
Maybe
like,
we'll go there. Maybe we'll do that. Who knows?
It's amazing. I love him. Please come.
Let's talk a little bit more basketball, but something nearer and dearer to our hearts.
Yes, yes, my friend.
And that is our daughters play basketball together frequently against each other this past Sunday.
Crazy game.
I know.
Can we talk about this game?
Sure.
It was a true barn burner. Tie game with a minute left.
Yep.
And on my daughter's team, shout out to Eve, she hit four free throws.
Yes.
With a minute left.
Banked them all off the window.
Hard bank. But 4 for 4 under pressure, a 12-year-old girl, that is impressive.
Well, I also need to add, to break that tie, the person who created the tie by swishing 2 free throws was one Taylor Eisen.
I'm obsessed with Taylor Eisen. Taylor Eisen plays with the tenacity of like Allen Iverson in like 99. Like just hungry, going after the ball, unfazed out there. She's awesome.
And her coach, who you know very well.
The coach I have some issues with.
Yeah, okay. Susie will frequently, it's interesting you equate our daughter to Allen Iverson. Susie's frequent desire to have her practice is met with similar resistance on occasion.
Practice? Practice?
Pretty much.
What are you talking about? Practice.
Yeah. That sounds, Taylor doesn't go full, AI there. But the one thing that I do want to bring up here is I don't know how many banners your name is on anywhere in the United States on the wall of a gymnasium, Ike, but I can attest I don't have a single one. And the one that features my daughter and your daughter's name in Pan Pacific Park, they are right on top of each other.
It's so cool, man. It's so cool with Morgan, too. It's like amazing.
Look at that. Coach Al getting it done. Foster Barinholtz and Taylor Eisen.
And
Taylor Eisen on the same banner.
It's
in the same gym.
For time immemorial, it'll stand there. It's amazing. Coach Al's great. Susie's also just like the coolest coach. Susie, your wife is the coolest person. His wife, we all know Susie. She's so cool. She's so smart. She's
thank you.
Smoke show. We go to dinner. She turns to the waiter and busts out perfect Italian.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Well, it was an Italian restaurant.
But still, I go to a Mexican restaurant. I'm like, hello. Can I please have the burrito platter?
Yeah,
burrito. It was very cool. She is alpha.
She likes to take the Italian car out of the garage every now and then.
Very cool.
One last thing to bring up with you before we send you on with the rest of your Wednesday. You, sir, if I am not mistaken, have dominated not one but 2 game shows, correct?
Yes, that is true. Okay. That is true.
Celebrity Jeopardy.
I won the Tournament of Champions.
God bless you.
And then I went on the regular Tournament of Champions, and I made it to the quarterfinals.
Okay.
And then I went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Celebrity Wants to Be a Millionaire with my dad, and we won $1 million.
Yes, you did. Too.
Wow.
Yes.
So the reason why we bring this up is any tips for this group that is after tomorrow's show flying to Atlanta to on Friday record an episode of Celebrity Family Feud against the Dan Patrick Show.
Oh my God.
This is happening.
Oh, with Steve Harvey?
With Steve Harvey.
Oh my
the
God.
The full deal. The full complete Megillah, as we would say.
Oh my God.
Yes. Now TJ has appeared on The Price is Right.
Okay.
He left with a ping pong table and a popcorn machine.
Not bad.
After making it out of contestants row.
Yeah. Okay.
To the Showcase Showdown.
Yeah. Wow.
Having an opportunity to win not just his Showcase, but potentially both, because the other person went over. Double over, unfortunately. There is the shot, this is not mocked in any way.
No.
He found his camera, my friend. Thank you. So, TJ has game show experience. I've been on Sports Jeopardy, right? I beat 2 Penn Staters.
Okay. That's true. That's pretty good.
Any advice? Any thoughts here? What do you got?
It's so tough because it's Family Feud and it's all like sort of we talked to 100 people.
Yes.
Any advice for Family Feud? I think be nice and loose.
Okay.
Have fun. I went into the Tournament of Champions on Jeopardy thinking it was like a fait accompli that I was going to lose.
Okay.
And so I just kind of went in with the attitude of I'm just going to have fun.
House money,
man. Let's just do this. Have some fun. We'll make some jokes. And I won. Yes, so it's jokes. I would say going with the attitude of like, let's just have fun. If Dan Patrick wins, who cares?
Wrong attitude. Well, no, totally wrong attitude.
If you have that mentality, you will win. And Dan Patrick will lose, which we all want to see. So I think go in light, but in your mind, be hard.
Okay.
Be hard, guys.
Because TJ, you know, spent too much time trying to entertain on The Price is Right.
I mean, they were laughing. Ike, what am I supposed to do?
And he knows the deal. Like, he's right. Maybe if you can make Steve laugh, that would be really good.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, God.
Make him laugh.
This is not the advice I was looking for.
I'm ready for this.
And not the advice I was looking for,
also,
be honest.
On Family Feud, you don't want to go too sexual. Like, a lot of people make, like, double entendre puns, and they're always wrong.
As a writer, you know the writing of the games and the clues are trying to funnel you in that direction.
They're trying to, but I feel like whenever I watch Family Feud, and people will be like, things you forget at home, and somebody like, my wife's underwear, and it's like, no, you're just trying to be funny. Like, that's not on the board.
Right. So that's where you don't want to entertain.
That's where you don't want to be funny, okay. But be loose and funny when you're talking. Don't be too wound up.
Okay.
And then go to South City Kitchen afterwards, or Holman and Fitch if you're in Atlanta. Those are two amazing restaurants. Great all burgers.
Right. Shoot. Now, like, notice he didn't mention any Greek restaurants because he doesn't want Giannis to go to
Atlanta. Because if you go to the Hawks, my friend, you're going to be making Greek food at home. If you come to Chicago, there is a whole neighborhood where it is restaurant after restaurant filled with Greek delights. In fact, there might be a restaurant called Greek Delights. Please come to the Bulls. Please. This is embarrassing. I'm asking twice now.
You could have the Pope and Giannis in the same spot.
Come on, guys. It would be like, this is it. It's like that for Obama and Jordan who?
That's right.
The Pope and Giannis.
That's it.
That's how we do it now in Chi-Town, baby.
By the way, that sounds like a really bad buddy-buddy cop show.
The Pope and Giannis. His last name is Pope, but they call him the Pope. And Giannis is just playing himself.
We're pitching now.
Come on. We're pitching.
Let's pitch this, man.
Call UTA.
That's right.
Let's set this up.
The Pope and Giannis, coming soon.
Coming this fall.
Oh, my God. A new episode of The Studio is available today on Apple TV. And the season one finale is Wednesday next week. It's already been renewed for season two. It is awesome. God, it is so funny. It is a dynamite watch. It is anxiety ridden frequently.
Yeah, it's not like super comforting, but it is fun.
Well, it's because it's shot that way too, right? And the music and the way that you guys act.
They want you to be as stressed out as Seth Rogen is. And he is just perpetual flop sweat and going, oh no, oh my God. And they want you to kind of feel like that. So I just laughed
the whole time about it. I don't even get stressed.
Yeah, my wife, when she watches, is just like, oh no, no, no. And that's what I'm on.
And then Running Point available now for streaming on Netflix. Renewed for season two. You're in the writer's room for that.
Rich Eisen, star of Running Point. It goes Rich Eisen, Kate Hudson, and then Justin Theroux.
And then there's the call sheet.
That's
the way it is on the call sheet.
That's what it is
on
the call sheet. That was you requesting that, and we made it happen.
I told you this off camera. I'll tell it to you here. The number of people that I got texts from on that, it rivals anything that I've ever done.
It tops anything I've ever done by far. Like, having a hit show on Netflix, a lot of people watch it. Like, hey, we went to school together in second grade. We haven't talked in 40 years. Congrats. It's great.
I thought the same thing. And I was only on a couple of these episodes, man.
It's wild.
And
man.
I'd do it again. We got to get
Susie.
Okay,
We have, we're making it a Eisen joint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eisen joint. Just have her character speak Italian.
Oh, my God.
Let's do it. Again, so the studio renewed for season two. Check it out tonight, right away, right here on the Roku platform through Apple TV, obviously. One of my favorite guests, and I'm not just saying that because you're sitting right here.
I am. What are you on, steroids or something?
I am actually on steroids, Bryan Cranston. Last Flag Flying in select theaters now.
We're going to have to disqualify this show because of your steroid use.
You know what? I thought about that before taking that steroid.
Now, wouldn't it be disheartening if you took the steroid and you had the best show ever? Then you'd go, oh my God, I have to take more steroids. How can you go off the steroid?
I guess that is the conundrum.
Good thing it wasn't a great show. So good for you.
Actually, it's been a great show so far. Since you and I last spoke here on this show,
Your Dodgers went to the World Series.
There was that five-hour game that went in. That was insane.
It was insane. I am proud to say I stuck around to extra innings for that night. It was because I did see some people in this town, people that you would know, people that we have all seen on television. Look,
call them out.
I can't do it.
Do it.
I can't.
You're on steroids. What the hell do you care?
I do have that as a fallback position, do I not? But I would never do that to you.
It is. Your Honor, I was on steroids at the time when I made that comment.
When somebody from Arrested Development got up.
Yes.
But,
Jason Bateman.
No.
You've been Jason.
There's a lot of people.
I'm disappointed, Jason.
Will Arnett.
Wow. But it wasn't.
Better Call Saul now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We're getting to the part.
We're getting there.
Where it moves. We're moving slowly.
We're moving.
Like Tortuga. We're moving that slowly, okay? But we're getting to the part where Walter White could show up. Are we seeing Walter White anytime soon?
Well, I'll tell you this as an exclusive on the Rich Eisen show.
Nice putting the bug. Without the mug.
There it is. There's the exclusive.
It just amazes me seeing in Better Call Saul the number of characters whose demise eventually is met because of your character.
Me?
I know exactly. It is remarkable how each and every one of them eventually has to be undone.
I unfortunately have that association. If I spend any amount of time with someone, they end up dying surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest you get life insurance. you want to protect your family.
Yeah, everything you do then. Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, boy. All of the brilliant Bryan Cranston appearances in the history of this show are available on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Again, he is so good in the studio. Not in it quite a bit, at least from what I've seen already so far. Catherine Hahn is as funny as they come. My gosh. Catherine O'Hara, too. Ike and Seth Rogen, just to name five. You're gonna
how many
cameos
are you in?
Three.
Okay, there's an episode that's gonna come up with Ice Cube in it.
Okay,
and let me tell you something. I was just describing this to Brockman. It's about the Kool-Aid movie. And it's,
well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the construct. Yeah, is that?
It is, bro. This. When I tell you this episode is like, you just have to take it for what it is and just laugh at it. Like,
is that the studio that just put Seth Rogen in charge?
Right.
Cranston is the man who did that.
Yeah.
They have the rights to the Kool-Aid character, and off we go. That was so much fun with Ike Barinholtz.
Yeah, so good.
So funny, and we did not, I mean, we didn't even dive into his TV and movie career. We will do that the next time he comes on this program. So here's how we're going to map out the rest of the show. We've got ourselves next hour, Don Van Natta Jr. He's the one who broke the story that baseball was going to reinstate Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and seven others. We are also going to take phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Pelissero, hour number three. We have yet to discuss the Cooper Flagg acquisition by the Dallas Mavericks, thanks to the lottery.
Opportunity to select Cooper Flagg.
Okay, we will discuss that coming up. The end of the road for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The situation that we've got brewing in hour number three, which is the final time because Chris will not be here tomorrow because he'll be too busy being a celebrity in Duval County,
correct,
Florida, for
correct
actor John Rahm's celebrity golf tournament.
Kevin Rahm.
It's not John Rahm?
John Rahm's not going to be there? John Rahm's a little busy this weekend. Kevin Rahm.
Oh, okay.
John Rahm's
I thought Kevin was going to be in the PGA. He was at Crow Hollow. No,
that would be great if they swap places.
Swap Rahms?
Honestly, swap John Rahm situations.
Would want to do that, with all due respect to Kevin.
Swap Rahms.
Kevin Rahm. Susie will be in your spot tomorrow, but she'll be here in advance of Women's Sports Now for all five of us. Felly's coming, and we got one last run through as the five of us.
We got to do it. Let's go.
For Family Feud.
Tighten the screws, boys.
That's coming up.
Lock in.
I can't entertain.
Lock in, Mike.
Tom Pelissero with everything going on in the NFL. And there's always something going on. The scheduled releases tonight on NFL Network. We'll discuss that coming up in hours 2 and 3. still here on our
So all these games that are getting leaked right now, Rich, the what happened to the mission critical situation those people?
Can I just explain what it is? Because I've been doing this for 22 years. The NFL can only do what it can do with its own direct employees, which is to give it out in very small amounts to people who are only, as they refer to it, mission critical, which I kind of love because it makes me sound like either Tom Cruise or in the case of our wonderful crack staff. Is this a Smitch creation from last year, or is this you, Hoskins? Oh, Hoskins made it. Mission critical. He won't break his NDA. I signed it on the air yesterday. That's all they can do is basically
good.
Threaten us with the word of NFL gods that we cannot give out a single portion of it, screen grab it, or tell anybody to anybody what's going on. I haven't even gotten it yet.
You don't have the schedule.
I don't have it yet.
You don't have it yet?
I don't.
Interesting.
I'm going to go to work right after this. As soon as I walk in, they're going to give it to me, and I'm going to have, like, 3 hours to take it in. Whatever. It is what it is. I've done this before.
Yeah.
Although I've never gotten it this late. So the NFL is really serious about tightening it up.
There's so many games that are already out there.
Excuse me. The NFL is serious about tightening it up with their own employees. Every year, teams in the NFL leak it. The teams do it.
I don't like it.
And I would sit here and say, you know who you are, but you know who they are. There's all 32 of them.
Yeah.
And I love them. It's my job to make sure all 32 teams are talked about and are as their fan bases are as up to speed, up to date, entertained as possible. It's their league. But every year, I bet you, is it coming from local beat reporters mostly? This is what's going on. Somebody feeds it to them. Yep. So make all 32 teams sign an NDA. Because they're as mission critical as everyone else. Actually, you know what it's doing? It's making my mission less critical. I like being called mission critical.
So we should change that to less critical?
No, no, it should be I'm mission critical and you are too. Stop leaking it. Because, you know, my mission is critical. And I like being known as mission critical, and you are threatening it. It's pissing me off.
I just like seeing what the teams do, how it gets released, man. Like, come on.
There's one mission. Let's focus, because it's critical.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. the mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.